This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to this Joy podcast. I'm Chris, members admin volunteer for 20 years. We need your support to continue providing this podcast service. Please become a member or make a donation at joy.org.au.
Broadway icon John Cameron Mitchell channels the essence of his glam rock icon, Hedwig and the Angry Inch, for one night only at Arts Centre Melbourne this July. So put on some makeup, turn up the A-track and pull the wig down from the shelf. John Cameron Mitchell, July 10 at Arts Centre Melbourne. Book now. Joy sponsor.
Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
This is Saturday Magazine.
And you are listening to Saturday Magazine with Fiona, Paul and myself, Tass. And joining us in the studio is Jane Smith, Joy board member. Good morning, Jane.
Good morning, Tass.
You've just recently got an AM.
I have, yes. Very
congratulations.
Exciting.
Congratulations. And when's your investiture?
On the 5th of September. So I've had my invitation from the Governor of Victoria, who's the wonderful Linda Dessau, who
I've met
slightly in other places. And so I go and have some kind of formal ceremony and I get my medal and my little pin to wear,
Fantastic. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And you got that for your work in broadcast?
Yeah, broadcast media, particularly film and television. Mm. So it's nice to be recognised for all those years of hard slog.
We'll come back and talk to you more about that a little bit later on, I think.
Okay.
Now, you're going to join us for a chat with Paul.
Yes.
Now, Paul Gove is one of our car reporters.
Mm-hmm.
He's a regular on our show, at least monthly, and I have been actively briefed this morning not to raise the issue of driverless vehicles again.
Okay.
Good morning, Paul.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you. Great to have you on the airwaves again.
It's always my pleasure, and we always have a fairly robust sort of a discussion, don't we?
Yeah, we certainly do. We certainly do. So I'm not going to talk about driverless cars again, but we are going to talk about why four-wheel drives are so popular in this country at the moment.
Well, I think what's happened, it's really interesting. There's two things going on. One is the four-wheel drive thing, which is what they now call SUVs. When I was a kid, they were called four-wheel drives because you actually drove them. Where you need to have four-wheel drive these days. Most of them don't even have four-wheel drive.
Is that right?
They
absolutely
see no dirt.
Not only do they see no dirt, they don't have four-wheel drive. But to get the price down, a lot of them are now front-wheel drive.
So they just pretend. They just completely pretend cars. They're made to look like bush vehicles, but they're in fact not.
Correct.
Wow,
correct.
I didn't know that.
Oh, that's scandalous.
Yeah. Well, it is, because basically what all these people are driving is basically a station wagon that's jacked up in the air, but it makes them feel good and feel tough. And when you go down to...
I have to tell you, Tass's shoulders have physically dropped.
Very sad, isn't it? You know, like I was actually driving a real four-wheel drive this week, a Nissan Patrol, which can go places that you would not believe. This is the contradiction. Most four-wheel drives, real ones, can go places that you or I would chicken out before the car does. The competency of them these days is absolutely unbelievable. My 9-year-old son was looking at it saying, what's this button here do, Dad? And I said, well, if you're going on rocks, you do that. And if you're doing in mud, you do that. And if you're on sand, you do that. I said, what happens then? I said, then the car's brain takes over and it gives you all the right settings to do all those things.
Wow.
And he went, why don't all of these cars have those, Dad? And I said, because most of them are never, ever going to go off-road. At one point, Toyota, which is the Land Cruiser, which is the off-road king, blah, 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 did a bunch of research, and they found that 80-something percent of four-wheel drives SUVs, never went off the road. What I should tell you is that research was done 20 years ago before the boom in SUVs.
So it's probably more like 98% now.
I would think so, these days. I mean, look, we all see, hey, how good is this? In Japan, you can buy mud literally, you can buy a container of mud. You just add water, strangely enough, so it's actually dirt. But you get that and you smear it all over your four-wheel drive to make it look as if you've been out driving. Oh, we haven't quite got that far.
It comes with a spray-on dirt bottle.
Well, I think it's bizarre that you can actually buy a bottle of water.
Just add water. Who knew?
I think it's bizarre that you can buy a bottle of water. Why would you pay for water?
Why would you pay about three times the price of a litre of petrol for a bottle of water?
Yeah, it's more expensive than gold bottled water these days.
So, Paul, tell us why. Why are people buying these cars?
At one sense, they're not too bad, you know, because they are basically a big station wagon and they've got a little bit more height between where your feet are and where your head might bang if you're wearing a Abe Lincoln stovepipe hat. So they are reasonably practical from that point of view. Most of it is simply buying into the dream. So if you buy a station wagon, it says about you that you're boring and middle class. And if you buy an SUV, it says that you're adventurous and modern and out there doing exciting things. And then, of course, the other thing is that lots and lots of, pardon me, gender stereotyping here, but lots of women bought them originally because they wanted to sit up in traffic. Particularly short, and I get emails from this all the time, short women who want to see over the traffic in front, which is fine when most of the traffic was passenger cars. Now 90% of the traffic is SUVs or those big stupid utes. You can't see over the traffic in front anyway, so there's no point in buying one so that you can see over the traffic in front.
I thought people bought them because they thought they were safe.
Well,
to fit all the kids' gear in it.
I think originally there was actually a tax advantage that they were actually not as expensive. And then they were supposed to be safe.
Yes. Well, the reason that the tax advantage is that originally four-wheel drives were considered to be a tool of trade for farmers. And you're right, they actually had a huge tax advantage. And Subaru, for one brand, started to do very, very well with selling those things. And of course, as soon as somebody finds a loophole, everybody's in there. So suddenly all of these four-wheel drive came in. But as the duty has gone down over time, there's no advantage now in having them four-wheel drive. So they don't have them four-wheel drive because they're cheap. Now, in terms of them being safe, that is just utter balderdash.
We're myth-busting here on this show.
They are not safer than passenger cars. In fact, they're much more likely to roll over than a passenger car because they have a thing called the centre of gravity. So imagine that instead of talking cars, let's talk human beings for a minute. Your centre of gravity is roughly just above your waist, so it's very hard to push you over. Imagine if you now had a head that weighed four times as much as it does today. Your chance of falling over is much, much higher. These things sit up higher in the air, so they are more likely to tip over. Mm. They weigh more, so when you put the brakes on, instead of decelerating a mass of, say, 1.5 tonnes, you're now decelerating a mass of 2 tonnes. The tyres that are on them are supposedly so that you can go off-roading if you want to, but, of course, they don't grip as well on ordinary bitumen as a normal passenger car tyre, so they don't do as well that way either. So there are any number of ways. People think that these big, heavy things are safer because they're big and heavy. These days, cars are designed to crumple around you and stop you hitting anything at more than about 40 kilometres an hour because that's the speed at which you die. But there is absolutely no truth to the fact that these things are safer. And in fact, most of them are probably less safe.
Paul, now I think that there's probably some of these are better than others, and while we don't usually like to share brand names on this show, can you give
tell us
some
what
advice?
To avoid? Tell us what not to buy.
Tell us what, tell us which ones are really not worth buying.
Well, you want one that's going to be most like a passenger car, so it's easier to tell you which ones are good to buy. There are some which are just plain ordinary and boring and horrible. Let me tell you about Mahindra out of India, which ticks all those boxes. Very, very, very nice, generous, warm people, but their cars are just nowhere near competitive in Australia. So you wouldn't buy a Mahindra. Most of the stuff that's coming out of China these days is still at a stage where they're learning about what things are all about. If you're buying one from a safety point of view, then the ones to buy are the ones that are most like a car. So Subaru do very good ones. They do Forester and Outback, and they get a recommendation every time from me. And then if you're buying one for value...
Do you have any declarations to make that you're not getting a kickback from
chance? I'm paid by nobody.
Okay, good.
I'm a journalist. I've been a journalist for 40 years. And let me tell you, I've been banned by a half a dozen companies for speaking the truth, including BMW and Audi. So I have absolutely no reason to be spruiking any particular brand. In fact, quite the opposite. I'll tell you exactly what I think. These days, you know, the Korean brands, Kia and Hyundai, do as good a car as anybody else, and they do it with a longer warranty. So they're all pretty good. But as I say to you, most of these cars are just station wagons. At the end of the day, what you're buying is a station wagon that just happens to sit a little bit higher and has a sexy name. It's called an SUV, a sports utility vehicle.
So, Paul, in summary, what you're saying is if you're going to buy one of these vehicles and you want one that's going to be safe and comfortable, yep, the Subaru is the way to go.
Yeah, they're probably the way to go. And then if you're buying on price, the Korean brands are good. I mean, obviously, you know.
Korean brands, what's that mean? Does that mean like the Kia?
Yeah, the Kia.
A Kia,
yeah,
or a Hyundai?
Yeah, correct. They're the two brands out of South Korea. The thing about it is there's 64 brands in Australia these days. So, and right at the top end, you can buy a Bentley SUV these days if you've got sort of more than $500,000 and you really want to that's what you want to have in the garage. So there's any number of things that are good. But the thing about this is, it's not about buying a brand A or brand B. It's about thinking about what you're actually having the vehicle for and having something that's fit for purpose. So do you really need an SUV, or would you be better off with a small car? You know,
Paul, that's a great question to finish off with. We'll leave that to our listeners to sort of ponder. You've given us a very strong recommendation, and you've given us some do's and don'ts. Always appreciate your insights. Always appreciate your time. Enjoy the rest of your weekend, Paul.
You too. Have a wonderful time.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.